concerned about rising health care costs, it's heartening to see opportunities for substantial savings.
You can check with your doctor and Medicare to learn more. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Any Jane Doe can tell you that Geico could help you save, but since money talks, we just ask the savings instead.
Greetings and sun salutations. I'm Jane's Money, and I never knew my self-worth until Jane switched her car insurance at Geico.com. Those 15 minutes built me up to real savings. Geico's been helping customers save money like me for over 75 years. So take that to the bank. And namaste.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
It turns out that the Padres really need clarification on whether the Chargers' proposed downtown site will work for them. And, in turn, would the Chargers and Padres make good neighbors? Randy Fuller has more.
San Diego's NFL team wants a new stadium to be built downtown, but the Padres, who already play there, want to know more about the Chargers' plans for moving into the neighborhood. According to the Union Tribune, the Padres' owners are on board with the NFL team staying in town. They say it will enhance San Diego's major league feel, but they are concerned about how a downtown football stadium will affect traffic, parking, and other business for Petco Park. One of the baseball owners says they'll study the Chargers' downtown plan and talk to them privately about it to get a clearer picture. He hopes that'll happen in the coming days, and he's still optimistic that the Padres can support a Chargers stadium downtown. He says they want what's great for San Diego and also what is best for the Padres. I'm Randy Fuller.
France is trying to get Google to pay nearly $1.8 billion in back taxes. The French finance ministry says the internet giant has been overly aggressive in trying to reduce the amount of taxes it owes. Google reached a settlement with the British government last month to pay slightly more than $180 million in back taxes to the UK. The French foreign minister ruled out making a deal, saying Google owes France a lot more money than it owed Britain. France maintains that it's trying to get Google to pay nearly $1.8 billion in back taxes. Powered by WesternJournalism.com, I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
On today's program, I'll be talking about the five easy steps that you should use for figuring out your ideal profit margins. I'll describe the three types of employees in every company. I'll have the secret for how to keep a family business alive. And I'll have the five ways to get you motivated when you're burnt out. It's Thursday, February 25th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more starting right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and the program is called Taking Care of Business, as it is every Thursday at this time. For the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But first, the check of the weather shows currently 48 degrees under cloudy skies at 12:04. And today it'll be windy with a shower or two, a high of 51 degrees and a low of 30. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny, breezy, and colder with a high of only 38 degrees and a low of 19. Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 41 degrees and a low of 31. And for Sunday, it'll be partly sunny and warmer with a high of 56 degrees and a low of 42. Well, as we do every week at this time, I want to get you caught up on some of the things that we've been doing over the last week and kind of hit the reset button on the program. I do want to give a shout out and a special thank you to Andrea Gellert, who's the Chief Marketing Officer of On Deck, for joining me last week on the show. I thought it was a great show, very informative, and it is on the archive on the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com website. So if you have a chance and you can go back, you're looking for last week's show on the archive section or Taking Care of Business. A lot of people have said that they were listening live and that they were tuning in on the replay. So definitely, if you're company is looking at a small business, you know, with loans up to $500,000. But if you're looking for capital to improve operations, reduce debt, add to payroll, buy inventory, make equipment purchases or something like that, then give the folks at OnDeck a call, because I think that they could potentially help you as they helped me. So now the neat thing that came out of that was I guess they had tweeted and emailed a lot of their employees saying that Andrea was going to be on with us. So we had a lot of folks listening in that work at OnDeck. So now they were tweeting and saying how much they enjoyed the program and how informative it was for them. Then my phone rang about a day later, and it was someone from the marketing department, and they interviewed me probably for close to half hour, 45 minutes about, you know, my business and how OnDeck was able to help us. And so now they're going to send out a video production crew to film myself and our business and show what we were able to do when we were able to secure some funding from OnDeck. So looking forward to that. That's going to happen in just a few weeks. Well, now it's time to recap the presidential election. The candidates on the Democratic side, only Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton remain in the race after Chafee, O'Malley, and Webb dropped out. On the Republican side, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, John Kasich, Ben Carson remain in the race and are being referred to as the Stayin' Alive Five. Dropping out were Perry, Walker, Pataki, Jindal, Santorum, Graham, Christie, Paul, Huckabee, and Fiorina. And that's why every time a candidate drops out of the race, we play Elton John's Funeral for a Friend. So sad to see them go. So now it comes down to Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side. And if you look at the USA Today polls that are out there, it looks as if this is going to be a toss-up for the next several states. And you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think right now Hillary is going to win this week. And then more than likely, Bernie has a chance to come back about a week from now with another victory. So they may be playing tennis a little bit longer than on the Republican side. On the Republican side, Trump is just running away with it right now. It's possible he may sweep Super Tuesday. And then he's got Saturday coming, or he's got Texas coming up first. There'll be a live debate tonight at 8:30 on CNN with the remaining candidates. And there was one name that I left off of the dropout list, and you know, there's a couple of people already texting me saying, "Hey, you forgot about Jeb Bush." And when you say it, you have to say it right, because there's an exclamation point after Jeb's name on all of his campaign posts. So it's Jeb Bush. So who will be remembered not so much for the lackluster campaign that he ran, but to me for this comment.
A more peaceful world. Please clap.
Please clap. I absolutely love that. When I saw it, I rolled off the couch. I could not believe that it came down to him having to ask people to clap for him. But now, of course, we're left with that Stayin' Alive Five of Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, John Kasich, and Ben Carson. I think the next two to drop out will be Kasich and Carson. And right now, all of the political observers are saying that it's time to start watching Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, because rather than going after Donald Trump, they're going after each other, which could extend Trump's lead even further. So tonight, CNN, 8:30, you'll get to watch the Stayin' Alive 5 of Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, John Kasich, and Ben Carson in the next presidential debate. All right, I'm going to stop for now, but I just love that nickname, the Stayin' Alive 5. I'm not sure what we're going to end up with when we have just four, three, two candidates left, but I don't think we're going to have better music than the Bee Gees when we do that. There are five easy steps to figuring out your ideal profit margin, and every business should be looking at these for every product that they sell. And as a business owner, if it's costing you more money to create your product than you are making when you sell it, you have problems. But how do you calculate your ideal profit margin? And once you do so, what are some of the ways to maximize it easily? First off, what is a profit margin? It's the ratio of profits earned over total costs for a given amount of time, like a quarter or a year. A correctly calculated profit margin will show how a business allots its resources and will give good insight into the business's profitability. Now, you can calculate profit margin in two ways, either the gross profit margin or the net profit margin. For gross profit margin, you determine the profitability of an item or a service, and you would take the retail price of the item and subtract the cost of the labor and supplies needed to create it. Then you would divide that amount by the retail price. For example, if you, say, sold homemade candles at $20 each and it cost you $10 in supplies to make the candle, your profit margin on the candle would be 50%. The net profit margin, this ratio determines the profitability of the company as a whole. And to calculate that, you're going to take the total sales of the company and subtract all expenses, then divide by the total revenue. So if your company has total sales of $2.2 million and your expenses equal $1.5 million, your profit margin would be 32%. Now, knowing what a profit margin is, here are the five easy ways to build a better one for your business. Number one, you want to be looking at cheaper alternatives. The profit margin depends not only on the amount of sales, but also on the cost of the goods needed to make the product. Therefore, if you can reduce the cost of the products, you will increase your profit margin. How many times have you seen on the show Shark Tank when someone comes in and they're very proud of the fact that they make their product in the United States, but then Kevin O'Leary or one of the other sharks might say, if we took this to China, your profit margin would raise exponentially because the labor is so much cheaper. So take a look at different suppliers or consider working out an arrangement with them to lower the price of the goods that you need. If you buy in bulk, they might be willing to drop the price for you. Or if you guarantee a certain amount of sales, they'll drop the price for you. And while you're considering cheaper alternatives, take a look at the business costs as a whole. Determine whether or not every expense benefits your business. And if you find one that doesn't, consider getting rid of it entirely. Number two, you can change the price. If you increase the cost of the item or service you sell, you will increase profit margins as long as the rate of sales doesn't decrease. This really depends on the industry that you are in and whether you have the flexibility to adjust your pricing. Be sure to do a little market research before changing the prices and get ready to change it back if sales drop. Number three, customer relations. Sometimes a little change in the way your business responds to customers can make a big difference in your bottom line. So consider investing in CRM software with marketing and Salesforce automation to better reach and respond to your customers. It will track all of your customer interactions and information in one place to drive sales and increase productivity. Number four, you also want to shake things up a little bit. Look at offering new products or improve the ones that you already have. If you are a service-based business, consider expanding your range or putting together a package of services for a slightly increased price. And number five, one of the more important ones, is set up an inventory system. By creating an inventory system and keeping it up to date, your increased efficiency will help you find the right amount of working capital to keep tied up in inventory. In addition, an inventory system enables you to keep track of which products sell well and which ones sit on your shelves forever. And of course, I encourage you to talk to your financial advisor before making any big changes, having them help you make a plan to increase your profit margins and continue to tweak it until you have the results you are looking for. So, great a story, and it was one that is particularly important to me because over the last year we realized that Crown Trophy hadn't raised their prices in about 8 years, and we had to take a long, hard look at, you know, cost versus sell to see whether or not a price increase was necessary. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you about the three basic types of employees in every company, and I guarantee you What I want you to do is think about either people that you work with or people who work for you, so that when I list the three types, you'll be able to tell me, or you'll be able to think to yourself, who fits into which category. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for about the next 45 minutes.
More peaceful world. Please clap.
Yes, please clap. Well, there are three basic types of employees, and what I'm going to present to you now is just a simple guide. If you are a business owner, if you're a coworker, if you're an HR professional, as to how you can classify these. And as we go through this, I think you'll say, well, there's another category. There's several ways of labeling people for their work ethic and for the how they approach their work. But these are the basic three that I've found over the years. So as I cover this story, I want you to think about your employees and then categorize them based on the three traits that I discuss. And knowing the core personality traits of the people around you helps you to relate to them more effectively. This is especially true at the workplace. If you have leadership responsibilities over others, this knowledge will help you relate to them more empathetically, lead them more effectively, and achieve better results. Similarly, if you are an HR professional, this knowledge will help you hire the right people for the right job, devise better performance incentives, and develop more sensible career and improvement plans. In return, your organization will benefit from better performance levels, a more synergic culture, and a more fluid organizational dynamic. Now, with that in mind, here are the three basic types of employees in terms of their core personality traits affecting performance. That is, their commitment to performance excellence, their willingness to improve, and general ethics. Yes, there are plenty of other models that provide more complex assessments with subtler variations. However, this three-tier type model is meant to be simple, easy to apply, and especially useful to seasoned professionals who have already developed a keen psychological sense. And further, you can integrate this model with others in order to expand their reach and scope. Now, the three basic types of employees are the freeloader, the worker, and the entrepreneur. They are all very different from each other. However, in their endeavors to keep or find employment, they might develop similar defense and self-promotion mechanisms, thus becoming easily misidentified by the untrained eye. So let's explore each one in detail. Type 1, the freeloader. These are those folks who are looking for a source of income and not for a job. Freeloaders are only interested in getting the money they need and are willing to work for it only if they have to. Surprising enough, there are people like these at all levels of the corporate ladder and in all industries, from rookie, unlicensed electricians to major corporate CEOs. In the beginning, they all seem down-to-earth, enthusiastic, and charming. However, in the medium to long term, they all come across as slackers, deceitful, and mediocre, showing small improvements only when they know they are being watched. In fact, when feeling completely fed up with their jobs, they will be openly careless, irresponsible, and defiant, as if they knew they were squeezing the last drops from their current positions. The second type of employee is the worker. Now, these are those that are actually looking for a job. In other words, people who do feel the need to be useful and would rather work for an income than being paid for nothing. Within them, the basic need of financial survival has been replaced with a sense of dignity grounded in the conviction to make an honest living and to give a good example. This type tends to be less charming than the freeloaders, yet they are a lot more productive as they have a high sense of commitment and responsibility. However, they usually have a hard time pushing their own boundaries and will likely not work more than they were initially asked to. For some reason, it's difficult for this type to see beyond the present moment, so the idea of making an extra effort for future benefits is a little fuzzy. They believe they must be promoted for doing what they were originally asked, not for delivering anything additional. Whether justified or unjustified, this mindset tends to limit their personal and professional development. And finally, there's the third type, the entrepreneur. Now, these are those pursuing a higher purpose. In other words, their main motivation transcends the need for money, and their idea of being useful is intrinsically tied to doing something that they love. In short, they have a clear personal mission and vision. And in this regard, type 3s, the entrepreneurs, overcome the limitations of type 1 and 2, the freeloader and the worker, meaning they will always give their best and will always go the extra mile. However, entrepreneurs face other kinds of challenges resulting from their sometimes mismanaged success drive and personal initiative. Now, when this happens, they will benefit from the guidance and leadership of experienced, wise, well-guided colleagues, supervisors, and mentors. Foreseeable as it is, entrepreneurs tend to start their own businesses at some point in their lives. On the one hand, this inclination could be deemed risky by the organizations that hire them and invest resources in their professional development. And on the other hand, however, hiring someone of the entrepreneur type may lead to the discovery and development of business opportunities that were previously unimaginable. So as long as the organization knows how to harness, channel, and leverage the talents of entrepreneurs, this type will prove to be very valuable for most organizations. Now, as I stated before, this model is very simple in nature and can also be used to cross-check other more complex ones. But at the end of the day, what leaders and human resources professionals need is actionable assessments that can be translated into clear decisions. In fact, regardless, this need for actionable assessments, I have found that every single individual can be either readily placed in one of these three employee types or considered as having personality traits from more than one type, thus allowing for a weighted assessment within the model. In either case, the resulting assessment is actionable. In conclusion, knowing this model is a valuable asset for business owners, CEOs, executive managers, HR professionals, and anyone else who works with other people. So now the exercise is, you heard the three different types of workers. There's the freeloader, the worker, and the entrepreneur. And as you look out on your staff, are you able to identify who in your staff falls into which category? Very interesting tell, because sometimes you may not see it, and then all of a sudden when you have to put them into a certain category, it becomes a little telling as far as what the level of dedication may be. Currently 12:23, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I wanted to go back because last week we had Andrea Gellert here from On Deck, and it was a great show. Really enjoyed having her on here. But the week before, something happened that in this area that I don't know whether I'm the great predictor of things to come or what, but I had read a story that said disaster doesn't need to spell the end for small businesses. And what I talked about was the need for businesses to plan for disaster. Last night we had somewhere between 1 and 3 inches of rain, so flooding might be a disaster. Earthquakes could be another type of disaster, building collapses, and then, of course, fire. As I was reading that story on the air, a fire broke out in Hillsborough and eventually, over the course of the next week, wiped out 2 warehouses totaling 500,000 square feet. And this was at the old GSA depot. But it was interesting because I could see the smoke from our storefront, you know, all the way in Hillsborough, some 12, 15 miles away. And I got to thinking, like, do those businesses have a disaster plan? And if not, how fast can they rebuild? How fast can they be up and running? Have they talked to their suppliers about a disaster management plan? Or are they basically just taking it one day at a time, so to speak? So I'm hoping that if you listen to the show on a regular basis and you saw the footage, and you know, you can just Google Hillsborough Warehouse Fire and see the magnitude of that fire. I mean, they had to close the highway. They were warning residents to stay inside because they didn't know what was being stored in some of those buildings. But now think about if you were a business owner and the fire didn't necessarily have to start in your end of the building, but because it spread so quickly, you could find yourself without a business. How fast can you get back up and running? So disaster recovery is a theme I think we're going to talk about a few times on the show this year. To make sure that people are prepared. And it doesn't matter whether you're in retail or a service industry or anything else. If something's going to interrupt the way you're able to do business or the way people can get to you, you better have a plan in place. And, you know, you have to think of it down, you know, boil it down to the ridiculous. So many people rely on cell phones. And yet, if you think back to Hurricane Sandy, if you think back to 9/11, the cell phone systems were jammed with calls and you couldn't get through. The only way to communicate with people was with the landline. But a lot of businesses have dropped the landline and just gone to cell phone service. Do you want to be without communication for 4 or 5 days with your customers because you said, I don't need a landline? Those are the types of things we're going to delve into and look at as the year goes on. So we'll talk about that a little bit more in the coming weeks. This next story is one that I got a couple of phone calls from several Crown Trophy store owners, and they all said the same thing. We go to the summer meeting, we get all revved up, fired up, and then we come back, and we're charged up for a few months. And then as we get into the November, December, January time frame, suddenly we feel just a little burnt out. How then do you stay motivated when those periods apply? And it doesn't have to be like ours where it's kind of cyclical. Burnout can happen at any moment. So no matter who you are, there are points in your career when it can be difficult to stay motivated and inspired. However, a shortage of motivation doesn't necessarily mean it's time to throw in the towel. Rather, just making a few simple but powerful changes to your day could be just what you need to get your mojo back. Number one, spend time on the business instead of in the business. And sometimes you have to unbalance to rebalance. As soon as you create that space, you can renew your passion for the purpose of the business. Now, chances are you didn't get into your line of work to get caught in the perils of the daily grind. In fact, running a business, if it's starting to feel like Groundhog Day, it's time to take a step back and spend some time out of the operation so that you can work on the business. And there's a great book out there about working on your business and not in it. So taking the time to refine your business's strategy, streamlining teams, coming up with new ideas, improving processes, or working on your company's future can help restore your drive to lead the company to the next level. Number two, you want to put purpose at the center of everything. Business leaders need to really understand their purpose or their reason for being in business. Once you've got a grasp on your business's true reason for existence, it needs to be at the center of everything you do. It should become the framework that guides your priorities and daily decisions. Number three, you want to get in front of customers because they are your greatest source of inspiration. Now, if you're ever short on inspiration or unclear of what your purpose is, the first thing you should do is get in touch with your customers. You can learn so much from their experiences with your product or service. Each has a different experience with your company, so it's important to understand how it makes their lives easier. Figure out what delights them, and then uncover the areas that you can improve upon. You also want to, four, automate or outsource all tasks that don't inspire you. Now, you want to trim everything that's taxing your time. Axing mundane tasks that don't inspire you gives you back some precious time, helping to make room for the things that you enjoy doing. For many small business owners, it's the financial and administration sides of the business that weigh you down. By enlisting the help of a great bookkeeper or accountant and using a virtual assistant service, you can free yourself from the boring stuff and get back to doing the parts that you love. And number five, this is one that I've really had to take to heart over the last year or so. Learn how to say no. You need to practice saying no every single day. Saying no to some tasks is an incredibly liberating feeling. It may sound simple, but it can be a tough strategy to execute on. Saying no when things aren't aligning with what your purpose will be is hard, but it could end up being the best investment for your team. By being strict with your time, sticking to your principles, and focusing on your purpose, you'll find saying no to opportunities that don't align much easier, and your business will benefit from it. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to step away for a quick news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the number one question you must constantly ask if you want to be successful. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
Some Arizona government officials are not handing out iPhones to employees anymore.
Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery says Apple should be complying with legitimate court orders.
If Apple wants to become the official smartphone provider to ISIS and the Sinaloa cartel, well, they can do so, but there's going to be a consequence.
The feds have asked Apple to write a program that will give them access to data on a phone that belonged to one of the San Bernardino terrorist shooters.
So it's no excuse for Apple to say that they can't possibly protect consumer privacy interests if they were to create an encryption key. No, that's the challenge.
Montgomery says smartphone security is also having an effect on his office.
By the inability to download information from smartphones due to the encryption and password protections.
I'm Randy Fuller.
A deadly winter storm is sweeping into the northeast. The powerful system spawned dozens of tornadoes and is blamed for at least 8 deaths across the south. This is USA Radio News.
As medication therapies become more complex, the need for board-certified pharmacists continues to grow. William Ellis is the executive director of the Board of Pharmacy Specialties.
The success of any healthcare team depends on the knowledge and experience of each of its members, which is why specialization has become increasingly important. BPS board-certified pharmacists are uniquely qualified to manage medication regimens, monitor for and prevent adverse drug reactions, recommend the most cost-effective treatments, and work with other healthcare providers to improve patient outcomes.
For 40 years, BPS has required extensive education, training, and experience, as well as a rigorous examination for certification. Today, almost 25,000 pharmacists are BPS board certified in 8 specialties.
BPS board certified pharmacists are a distinct group of pharmacy professionals who are on the leading edge of patient care and will play an increasingly significant role in reducing medication errors, lowering healthcare costs, and ensuring that patients receive the best care possible.
To learn more, visit bpsweb.org.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100andChamberRadio.com. And before we continue, a brief check of the weather shows currently 48 degrees at 12:32. Today it'll be windy with a shower or two, a high of 51 degrees and a low of 30. For tomorrow it'll be mostly sunny, breezy and colder with a high of 38 degrees and a low of 19. For Saturday it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 41 degrees and a low of 31. And for Sunday it'll be partly sunny and warmer with a high of 56 degrees and a low of 42.
Please clap.
There is nothing you're going to do to make me stop playing that today. I absolutely love that. Sorry to see Jeb Bush go. That is one campaign that never, ever got out of the starting gate. And so tonight, don't forget, the Republican debate will be on CNN at 8:30. The number one question you must constantly ask if you want to be successful, what is it? What do you think is a question that you should be asking of yourself every day, almost in every task, that can make you successful? Would this be the magic bullet? Would this be the golden nugget that everybody's looking for? Now, if you've ever found yourself immersed in a project and suddenly realized that it was essentially worthless to you, or maybe it wasn't worthless, but it wasn't supporting your most important goals, at times we've all found ourselves busy with things that didn't directly contribute to either our bottom line or our well-being or other desired outcomes. Now, it's incredibly easy to be busy, but being busy is not an indicator of success. In fact, it may actually be a success deterrent. I'm sure you've met someone who was constantly on the go, but never seemed to accomplish or achieve anything of value. You know the type, always rushing, sometimes frantically so, stressed out, and often complaining that they have no time to exercise, eat right, sleep well, or have fun. There are many reasons why they could be that way, but if you ask yourself this one simple question, you can guarantee that you will stay focused on what is most important in your business and your life. Now, whether you're starting a new project, introducing or improving a new product or service, writing a speech, creating a training program, or even starting a new business, ask yourself this: what do I want to accomplish with this product, project, task, etc.? This question can be asked in a variety of ways, but the key reason to ask yourself this question is to identify how a specific task or a series of tasks will contribute toward your goals. And once you understand this, you can determine how best to proceed. If you can't answer the question, whatever you're doing is probably going to end up being classified as a waste of time. Now, you may have heard the popular phrase, begin with the end in mind. But how many people use this as their way of being? Successful people know that anything worth doing has a definite goal at the end. Are you attending a training to hone your skills, network with like-minded professionals, or gain new knowledge? What specific problem is your new product or service going to solve for your client base? How is a new process or system going to streamline your internal operations? What is your exit strategy for starting a new business? What do you really want to achieve? How often do you currently ask yourself these kinds of questions? When you start each new set of tasks with your end result in mind, you're more likely to be focused, efficient, productive, and as a result, profitable. Successful people do not spend their time doing busy work. Instead, they prioritize tasks that move them closer to their desired outcome. How would your workload be different if you only focused on things that directly affected your goals? How would that affect your personal life? Now, oftentimes we make things more complicated than they need to be, not realizing that the simplest solutions are often the most elegant and useful. When you are focused on this formula, which is goal leads to action leads to result, you can save your most precious and completely non-renewable resource, which is time. So before you start any task, ask yourself, what am I trying to achieve? Or even more simply, why am I doing this? And I guarantee it will improve your results. So hopefully when you ask that question, as you try it starting tomorrow, when you have a new project or something to do, what do I want to accomplish with this? And another thing that you can throw in there is, how long do I want to work on this? If it's a small task and it's just something that you want to get out of your way, maybe it'll take 10 or 15 minutes. Allot that amount of time. There's several productivity apps on smartphones where you can set a timer and then try to complete that task in that time. You'll be surprised by the end of the day how much more time you actually end up with. Well, this is called, this show is called Taking Care of Business. And anybody who has been listening for any length of time knows that I really focus on building the business. My number one rule being always be promoting and marketing your business. And that's the one area where I feel many businesses fail themselves. And most business owners will tell me, I don't have time to market. I don't have enough resources, or I simply don't know how. There are five surprising mistakes that even savvy marketers make. So hopefully, if you are going to decide to do some marketing, you'll avoid these as well. Now, your expertly crafted content won't stand a chance of success if your team is making these fundamental messaging missteps. Content marketing has the power to transform the relationship between you and your customers. Well-crafted content can build trust with audiences, communicate the nuances of your brand stories, generate new leads, engage and inform readers, get eyeballs to e-commerce pages, and ultimately drive sales. But new research is showing that if your content marketing is executed without a solid strategy behind it, it's a lot like the proverbial tree falling in the forest. No one will be around to experience its impact. In fact, content done wrong can actually be dangerous for your brand in that it demands creative resources that could otherwise have been put to better use. That's why rather than racing to push out a lot of content quickly, you or your team should spend at least one strategy session planning for the potential pitfalls that can render otherwise exceptional content dead on arrival. So here we've identified several of the stumbling blocks that can prevent content from reaching your most important marketing and business goals. Keep these five misses in mind before developing your next post. Number one, you're not defining who your target audience is. If your editorial team can't visualize the specific customers you're trying to reach, how can they develop articles, videos, graphics, and social media posts that truly speak to what those audiences care most about? Take the time to create customer profiles for your team to reference when brainstorming and creating content. This should include audience demographics, how your content can address their needs and interests, and where each group is most likely to seek out information, for example, Pinterest or Quora. Make sure that you move this information from whiteboard to paper. Research from the Content Marketing Institute finds that marketers who document their content strategy, including customer profiles, are significantly more likely to be successful at their efforts than those who have a verbal strategy or none at all. Number two, if you're posting inconsistently, that's also a no-no. It's tempting for some brands to treat content marketing like an ad campaign, pushing out a ton of messaging right before a launch or an event, and then going totally dark when they don't have as much to say. Do not follow their lead. Now, while it's fine to increase frequency at times, it's even more critical to let your customers know that you're providing useful, relevant content to them when it doesn't overtly benefit your company. By the same token, search engines, one of the most powerful ways to find new leads, reward websites that produce content consistently over time by ranking them more highly in the search result pages. So take the time to plot a shared editorial calendar that maps out the content that you're able to publish each month or quarter, and then stick to it. Number three, you don't promote. Taking the Field of Dreams approach to content marketing, meaning if you post it, they will come, all but guarantees you a limited audience. Now, don't expect publishing alone to drive page visits or clicks to e-commerce. Nothing markets itself. When allocating your content marketing budget, create an owned, earned, and paid promotional strategy. Use and build up your own channels, such as your blog, social media, and email newsletters. Decide how earned channels fit into your mix, which can include partnerships to cross-promote content quid pro quo, as well as pitching trade publications, bloggers, and other influencers for coverage on their sites. And finally, allocate budget, even a small amount, toward paid promotions, including targeted Facebook ads, Reddit ads, or promoted tweets on Twitter. Number four, you're overdoing or avoiding brand mentions. Your content marketing is an opportunity to show your brand personality beyond just sales and promotional offers. So avoid turning a conversational moment into a full-on sales pitch or repost of a company press release. That said, there's no need to completely scrub your content of every reference to your brand or its products. If your customers never encounter any kind of product information or call to action at all, your content will probably fall short of hitting major brand goals. There's a sweet spot to be found where brand mentions and links are organically woven into entertaining substance. Fitness streaming service Daily Burn has found that Intersection, striking an excellent balance in its blog life and integrating product mentions and links into relevant service-driven content. And number five, you're writing for robots. The science of writing branded content, creating something that performs in a particular, predictable way, shouldn't come at the expense of the art. Now, while you want to make your content easy to discover through SEO techniques, if you find yourself jamming in keywords or writing on hot topics for the sole purpose of optimizing search, it will read clunky and inauthentic to the actual humans that you want to engage. Remember that at the heart of this, you are writing for people, not machines. So write your first draft with the focus on ideas and engagement before taking on an SEO pass. If you don't have a content marketing expert in-house, you may want to bring in a content strategist or editorial marketing company to help you learn this fine balancing act. So there's some great tips on how to make your marketing messaging a little more effective by avoiding those five pitfalls, which is not defining your target audience, posting inconsistently, not promoting, overdoing or avoiding brand mentions, and writing for robots. So always remember, keep it personal, and it'll the rest will take care of itself. Currently 12:42, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchchamberradio.com. Did want to mention tomorrow night up at the Grand Colonial, the farmhouse up there, is the annual meeting of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. There'll also be an awards ceremony, dinner dance, and the installation of new board officers. I'm very proud to announce that I have been selected as a board member. It's a 3-year term for the Chamber of Commerce. So looking forward to helping this worthwhile organization as it continues 100 years strong, which everybody here is very proud of, that the Chamber has been around for 100 years and it's done a lot of good in promoting businesses within the county. And obviously here with 100 in Chamber Radio, a way for us to promote even more. The only chamber-owned radio station in the United States. So very glad that to be a part of that. So when we come back, we got a couple more stories to go over. Now I just got to figure out what they were. How to generate leads without forgetting the customer experience, and 4 simple small business productivity solutions. We're going to hit that one first when we come back. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, there are four simple small business productivity solutions for you, and I want to go over them with you. Now you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com, you lucky dog, you. And we all have those tough days at work where we try as we might, we can't seem to check one item off of our to-do list. And all too often, it's the seemingly straightforward work that ends up being the most time-consuming. Endless email chains, phone calls, questions from our staff or customers, and before we know it, one small task has eaten up our entire afternoon. Productivity is the result of intelligent planning. It's part organization, part prioritization, and most importantly, the elimination of repetitive or time-consuming tasks through fast, simple, and affordable solutions. Now, this year, you can resolve to eliminate unnecessary friction from daily tasks to boost productivity. Here are four common productivity fails and four simple, affordable, and free solutions. The first is team collaboration and file sharing. The solution could be Slack. Now, if you've ever tried to share a file with a colleague but emailed an outdated version, even Dropbox and Google Docs aren't immune from the occasional file sharing snafu. Team productivity plummets when your coworkers can't access your latest file changes or everyone's working off the wrong version. From Basecamp to Redbooth, there are a ton of great project management and collaboration tools available at a low cost. One of my new favorites is Slack. Slack brings all team communication into one place with real-time messaging, archiving, and search features. File sharing is seamless within the app, which allows you to use services like Google Drive, Dropbox, or Box for immediate sync and search. Another productivity fail is custom PDFs, and the solution could be Ice Cream PDF Split and Merge. This common work problem, customizing or editing PDFs, is the sort of thing that most of us don't think about until it's gone from a minor inconvenience to an urgent need. Usually, PDFs cannot be edited with the full version of Adobe Acrobat DC, so when a business partner sends you a PDF with extra pages or the wrong order, and you need to quickly add this to your business's existing client proposal that's due by the close of business, you can't make the changes without owning Adobe's desktop or monthly subscription service. There are a handful of low-cost third-party PDF editors available online, but Ice Cream PDF Split and Merge is hands down my favorite. You can combine multiple files into one, get rid of certain pages, split existing files, and edit page sequences quickly with this easy-to-use tool. And another productivity fail, too many website domains, no centralized host. You want to consolidate that into a single host. Now, if you like creating custom PDFs, this is a sort of productivity issue that most of us don't think about until it's a major problem. Using multiple hosting sites can get pretty expensive, not to mention confusing, if a site you manage is down. Which provider are you supposed to call? So consolidate all your domains into a single centralized host. And I've long been a fan of HostGator, thanks in part to its excellent customer service and affordable managed WordPress hosting. And so that's just another tip as far as how you can simplify things and make it easier on your end user. So hopefully those are some tips that you'll be able to use and integrate into your business as well. So it's currently 12:50. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. Final story of the day is, how do you keep a family business alive? And I'm not talking about the first generation. I'm talking about what happens with that second and third generation. And running a family enterprise can be a complicated game. The closeness and the trust inherent in a tight-knit family can yield bonds that makes running a small business easier and less fraught with suspicion. But as things progress, chafing issues can multiply, and the next thing you know, you've got a lot of drama on your hands. And that can play out in a number of ways, but stats show that family businesses don't have the longevity that their founders might have expected or had hoped for. Only 30% last to the second generation, 12% to the third generation, and just 3% to the fourth. Family businesses are complicated, to say the least, and take a strong backbone of organization, trust, and communication to maintain. Frieda Herz Brown, who's a consultant with Relative Solutions, has, for the past 35 years, specialized in helping family businesses keep on keeping on. She says the first task, it would seem, is understanding exactly how complex the family network can become. You start with a couple of people, it grows to 7 or 8, they get married, then they have more kids, says Herz Brown, and by the time you get to the second or third generation, you got a bunch of things going on that need to be dealt with, and most families don't awaken to it until it's too late. Some of those issues include a growing number of people with different experiences, loyalties, and motivations, she explained, most of whom might never actually join the family business at all. Those could be family members who married into the network, bringing with them a different culture, others, cousins for instance, who did not grow up in the same household and don't have as deep an understanding of the personal styles of the core family leaders, says Herz Brown. They're geographically dispersed, they're further from the enterprise than originally made them money, so oftentimes there's a disconnect unless you really work at it. As family grows and disperses, family dynamics become clan dynamics, she added. That type of network requires a solid system of governance in order to survive. Who is in the business and who is not? Who has shares and who does not? Who's in charge? What does it take to become part of the leadership circle? And perhaps most importantly, how can the larger set of family clans communicate in a way that puts all involved parties on the same page? Families must agree on a set of processes to bring order to a lot of gray areas. It's a way, says Herz Brown, of putting some roadblocks in the path of bad decision making. You also want to take inventory and plan. The first thing every family enterprise needs to do is decide who will be making the decisions for the organization and who will hold those leadership posts even into the future. A family business consultant needs to meet with all of them. We believe that those people who will be living with the decision-making need to participate in establishing it, says Herz Brown. They may not necessarily have a vote yet, but they definitely need a voice. In such a meeting, all parties must discuss goals, what is working, and what is not. Once the bones of the family enterprise are laid down, other issues need to be hashed out. Herz Brown has found that families have to come together for serious discussions about such matters as leadership development, how do you groom a new generation of leaders within the family, financial accountability, and management. What goals and standards must leadership meet? Family communication and understanding how the organization and those in it fit into the larger world, i.e. communicating effectively with employees and understanding personal and organizational topics or optics. Talking to one another. When it comes to communication, this is probably one of the most important aspects. Quarterly board meetings, common in most companies, may not be good enough. The larger group of cousins and half-cousins needs to have a clear understanding of what's going on in the larger organization, even if the vast majority does not have voting rights. Though Herz Brown is tight-lipped about who her clients are, one family that employs her firm let Forbes in on part of its organization's process for longevity. The D'Addario family, known for producing instrument strings and accessories, keeps itself in line with annual multi-day reunions. An elected official or council and a family constitution outlining every aspect of the business family enterprise imaginable is laid out. Changing is challenging. A number of other factors make family businesses difficult to maintain for the long haul, one of which is the leeway that each new generation of leadership has in terms of redefining direction. Change in business is essential to survival, and freeing future leaders to elevate change can mean letting go of some of the legacy of the previous generation. Sometimes difficult for a family business. Many of the families that I'm seeing are suffering in a couple of ways, says Hers Brown. One is that they continue to put money into their particular company because that's what they do best, and they don't think about where the company is in terms of the industry. One fix is to open the field to shareholder advisors, family connections or not, that may have good ideas on strategic direction but don't have voting rights. Even significant alterations to a legacy business are a good idea if the family's industry is experiencing a major disruption. And then longevity. That people are tending to live longer and eschew retirement adds a new facet of a family business dynamic, says Hers Brown. You're no longer passing the baton just from one generation to another. And the older generation isn't retiring, which is what used to happen 35 years ago. Nowadays, you have at least three generations working together. The middle generation of those three has a unique place, one whose outlook and input must be acknowledged, but runs the risk of being passed over. Another factor that arises from longevity is the impact of business lifers operating within family, says Hers Brown. Financially, people are encouraged to transition their wealth down a generation or two because you don't want to have too much in your estate. But the fact is, people are living longer. Almost every family I'm currently working with has a person in it who is 90 years old or more. So how do families respect the legacy of a much older and still active member of the company while perhaps having to make big changes to the enterprise? How does a family with ever-increasing numbers continue to support itself? Can leadership generations transition too late or too soon? The answers to those questions, like many regarding family corporate dynamics, are not set in stone, says Hers Brown. Each family is different and must be evaluated on its own complexities. So if you are in a family business, hopefully you are looking, again, with the end in mind, how will you transition out? How will new people be brought in? Or will the company end up having to be sold? In NASCAR, Denny Hamlin wrote himself a letter when he was 11 years old that said he hoped to win the Daytona 500 one day, and he did just that this past Sunday by edging out Martin Truex Jr. by just 1/100th of a second to claim his spot in history and take home the Harvey Earl Trophy. Also in NASCAR news, Ricky Rudd, Ron Hornaday Jr., Jack Roush, Ken Squire, and Waddell Wilson have been named to the ballot of Hall of Fame nominees. They join the list of returning nominees held over from last year. Five will be elected to the Hall on May 25th. In Major League Baseball, pitchers and catchers have reported, so spring training is underway. In the NFL, RG3 will not be returning to the Washington Redskins next year. And in NCAA basketball, Villanova holds down the top spot in the AT Top 25, followed by Kansas, Virginia, Oklahoma, and Xavier. Michigan State, North Carolina, Iowa, Arizona, and Maryland round out the top 10. Xavier beat Villanova last night, so expect a change in next week's rankings. As always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. And maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I am Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.